Brand mascots. We know them, we love them, and it's no secret that brand mascots are taking social by storm. The way brands leverage mascots has evolved, they've been able to unlock new functions and lives online. With these personas entering the social media space now more than ever, marketers need to know what goes into creating a strong digital presence for their own mascots. Hear from some iconic brands as they discuss best practices for bringing your brand's mascot to life on social media.
Thank you, everybody, for making it out to an early panel.
Yes.
So, while it might seem that your feeds are being taken over with mascots and they're a popular trend right now, mascots have actually been around since the early 19th century. So I think brands discovered really early on they were a great way to connect with consumers and drive awareness overall. And we're very fortunate today to have marketers behind some of today's top mascots out there. So I'll pass it over to our first panelist, Brian, to introduce himself.
Yeah, I'm Brian Waddell, Senior Brand Marketing Manager for Hot Pockets with Nestle USA.
I'm Ben Mattis. I'm the Senior Vice President of Angry Birds Brand Strategy for Rovio Entertainment.
I am Kristen Thompson. I'm the President of the Frozen Foods Division at B&G Foods and former Marketing Director on Green Giant.
There we go. So I think the first question today is we have mascots who are new, some are a little bit older, and some that are really old. Let's talk about the origin story of your mascot. Kristen, let's start with you.
Oh, because I have the oldest guy, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully most of you, I'm looking out at the crowd, and it seems like we got a little bit of a younger audience. Hopefully, everybody's heard of the Green Giant, the Jolly Green Giant, right? Okay, good, because he's coming up on his 100th birthday, so
ho,
we talk
ho,
about
ho-ho-ho,
the longevity of an iconic character like the Green Giant. He was created by the Green Giant Company back in 1926, I believe. He started out as a Green Giant because that was a type of pea. A green giant, a larger pea, a Green Giant canning company. And originally when he was designed, he was kind of terrifying actually. He was based off of a Brothers Grimm fairy tale story, I forget, but it turned out that he was so frightening that kids were scared of him. And the whole idea behind the Green Giant was to help children enjoy vegetables. So with the help of Leo Burnett, the Green Giant was kind of transformed into the more iconic, lovable, friendly, Jolly Green Giant. And for the Green Giant Canning Company to be able to trademark Green Giant, they had to literally add the word Jolly in front of it to get the trademark. So that's kind of how he came to be, and he sort of evolved over time as this beloved expert of vegetables with a questionable sidekick named Little Green Sprout, who we'll probably talk a little bit more later. But and he's kind of evolved through the years. And one of the most distinguishing characteristics of the Green Giant, besides his size, is his
ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Great. Ben, let's talk about Red.
So everyone familiar with Angry Birds? Yes, more or less? Okay, great, cool. So Angry Birds was created in almost 15 years ago, just about. You may remember the original Angry Birds, like the mobile game that was on the phones that we probably all played when we were kind of getting our first smartphones. It was a very different sort of style of character. I mean, first of all, he wasn't anthropomorphic, didn't have hands, didn't have arms or legs or wings, or he was really what we call the classic design, so like a little sort of sphere, very expressive face and whatnot. And for some years, that was Red, and those were the Angry Birds, that style. But obviously, as the brand grew, so too did the desire to tell stories with these characters. And we saw the beginnings of that in some of the animated shorts that Rovio did, which you can still find in various streaming platforms, and YouTube and Netflix and that kind of thing. And then, really importantly, when the first Angry Birds movie came out, which was in 2016. So at that point in time, there was this sort of significant evolution or like branch of the Angry Birds universe, the Angryverse as it were, where you started to see these characters, the anthropomorphic characters or the movie design characters. So they had, human arms and legs and whatnot. And most importantly, they had voices and personalities. And that's really when we started to see the use of the mascot, who hopefully we'll see soon, really start to take off, because a whole other sort of generation of fans and players and consumers started to see that as their version of Red. So we have multiple versions, but of course, out in the world, you need the arms and the legs, and so that's where that mascot has really, really sort of connected, which is everyone who's watched the movies and that type of content.
Man, I'm like jealous listening to both of you. How many of you have heard of Herbie Hot Pocket?
Exactly.
Well, of course you too, 'cause you work with us. I see you, Noah. Thank you. Hot Pockets has had a mascot for 20 years, which is like really hard to believe. A beloved giant Hot Pocket that no one has heard of. So when we came out of the business 2 years ago, we had a decision to make. Do we either use this thing or do we get rid of it? And so we were fortunate enough this past year to work with a design agency to think about what Herbie should look like today. We saw some very wild options, I'll say, with backwards hats and socks and Birkenstocks that just kind of felt a wee bit off base, but put ourselves into a different mode of thinking, at least. Nestle has a very tried and true practice when it comes to a lot of our brands and businesses, and we wanted to break the mold a little bit by creating a character that could be expressed, right? It didn't have rules or boundaries, but more so, can I give this to an artist? Can I give this to another creator? And see what they make with it, all the while focusing on getting closer to our target consumer than that young Gen Z audience. And thankfully, he's been a catalyst for much of the work we've done this year and served as our first branded page on TikTok that I think has like reformed all of our thinking for Future State Media.
That's great. So we know mascots are an emancipation of the brand, and we know how much thought goes into defining who your brand is. So, Kristen, if you could talk about how have you modernized the personality of your mascot, and how does it really support the brand today?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you started out as this horrifying, scary kind of giant, so making him less terrifying was certainly the number one way to make him more relevant. But the evolution over time, the Green Giant's always sort of been this kind of mysterious presence. He doesn't speak. Which is kind of interesting and fun, you know. And you know, he's got a little sidekick called Little Green Sprout, who I think is his apprentice. There's some question out there on their relationship, whether it's, you know, his nephew, his son, his whatever. So he's sort of always had this kind of mysterious presence, but he's also been this sort of partner to mom or the head of the family when it comes to making dinner and providing, you know, family great food, delicious vegetables, helping your kids eat more veggies, that nutritious kind of vegetable purveyor. So his role in the brand has always been as that, sort of the ambassador of the vegetables. He's in charge of the valley. He's the one harvesting the peas. He's helping drive dinner solutions and things like that, providing recipes, help. And the way you kind of see him show up in some of the different channels and content is, you know, his presence, whether it's his full body or not, you'll see this giant hand come in and kind of like help make mom help make dinner and things like that, where mom is still the hero, but he's kind of the support and giving that sort of confidence and help in the kitchen kind of thing. So inserting him in creative ways and different types of content sounds weird, but his body parts, making it kind of mysterious and visually arresting and things like that, have helped kind of break through in some of these channels. And then evolving the voice and the partnerships has always been a key thing for us too. Having the giant show up unexpectedly for different things that are either big events or something to do with vegetables or food or some kind of main event like Thanksgiving, for example, having him kind of show up in a big way, a surprising way, has been a way we've been able to kind of insert him into everyday conversation too.
That's great. Now, Ben, Red has been a character in your product, right? So how do you look at the role of Red outside the property?
Yeah, I mean, so you know, the Angry Birds games have been downloaded a lot. I think we're sitting above 5 billion downloads, which means that the brand and the characters benefit from quite high sort of brand recognition, that's a great thing to, you know, have. In most places in the world, you can show, you know, the Angry Birds brand characters and you know, survey a bunch of people, and you'll get a pretty good response of at least familiarity, right? Like, oh yeah, I recognize that guy. So that's a great place to be. But really, you know, when you think about mascots of entertainment. You know, if you think about, like, well, for example, we were recently bought by Sega. So Rovio is now owned by Sega. And Sega, if you think about Sega, most people will probably think of, you know, Sonic, right? Sonic the Hedgehog is pretty clearly the mascot of Sega. If you're thinking about, you know, Microsoft, maybe you're thinking about, you know, Master Chief in the Halo franchise. If you're thinking about Sony PlayStation, maybe you're thinking about, you know, Kratos or, you know, whatever. So we believe that, you know, mobile gaming doesn't really have a mascot, but if it did, we think, you know, it's Red. Like, he's sort of the de facto mascot of mobile gaming. And so as we, you know, seek to reinforce that, we seek to grow his mascot presence, right? The games are great at, you know, entertaining people and bringing joy and all of that great stuff. But now we need to also make sure that the presence of Red, the personality of Red, shines through in other opportunities as well, whether that be movies or animated series or on TikTok, you know, et cetera. And the angle that we like to sort of pursue there is, you know, this is a character who, well, he literally has the word angry, like, in his name, right? So we, you know, but you can't just have him rage all the time, right? If he's just flipping tables all the time, you're kind of like, all right, buddy, like, take a chill pill, we're done. I've got other things to do. So how do we play with that idea of, you know, sort of being the voice of the things that we all experience in our daily lives, the anger, the frustrations that we all experience in our daily lives, but maybe we don't want to actually say, but he's allowed to say it, right? How do we play with that to make him a personality that people can identify with, thereby building their interest in the character, wanting to know more about what else he's going to say, what other weird things is he going to do, how else can I identify with him, and then hopefully by extension driving sort of awareness of the overall Angry Birds brand. And hey, you know, I had a really rough day, I need a break, I'm going to download an Angry Birds game and pop some pigs, as it were.
I can't follow pop some pigs. Yeah. Quite the expression. We kind of grounded Herbie in this idea of heroism, because heroism has very different meanings to a lot of different people. And when you're thinking about what it could mean to a kid versus a parent, whether that be in, you know, New York, New Jersey, all the way to LA, very different things. But the artists we've worked with over the past year have done a really good job of showcasing that, whether it was Urban Aztec, who's widely known in California, creating this luchador version of Herbie that kind of lived and breathed within our gaming headquarters with our partners at NRG, and what we've done recently with a young creator, Rakeem Miles, who viewed Herbie as being a buddy to the character he had created, where they just kind of did this whole series of drawings and merch where it was based on, like, running around the world together and just causing mischief and mayhem, to what we've done on TikTok, where Herbie's just one of the homies, right? He just kind of hangs out and is trying to figure out his way as a 20-something in this world now that so many others are trying to do as well, too. The more we can give up with him, we've learned, the more we receive. And so that's been the mantra of, like, not everything's going to unlock 5 billion downloads, which is incredible, but some of the content you get and you start to see the engagements and the comments around what he is, who he is this something, the realization that it is a Hot Pocket is untapping a lot for us. I mean,
just... Which is very unlike most brands who want to control and be able to do everything with, especially with a mascot that embodies their brand, just allowing the community to also develop and tell the story.
Yeah, Legal loves us right now.
So you mentioned, that's another panel.
Yeah.
you mentioned TikTok, and so I wanted to ask everybody, you know, with social and especially things like TikTok, what opportunities have you really seen to take your mascot further or redefine the role of your mascot in your marketing communications? Kristen, we'll start with you.
Sure. I got to get this off my chest, though. Hot Pockets.
There it is.
Yes.
You guys.
All right. That was kind of like itching. I had to get that done. So much opportunity. I think obviously, a mascot is the voice of the brand. And, you know, if you're a human being on this earth right now, clearly you're engaging in TikTok. And it's probably the biggest opportunity for us to continue to stay relevant with the right audience. There's so many purchase decisions being made within the app itself. And, you know, food in general, I think, is a big opportunity with, you know, partnering with influencers and different chefs and things like that, which we've done in the past. Our plans for TikTok is to continue to increase our investment and understanding how we build that out with the Green Giant himself and Little Green Sprout as part of our full mix next year. I can't say too much about what we're doing because there's a lot that's kind of, you know, I'll probably get in trouble if I say too much. But there's going to be some really big things happening towards the end of this year where we're going to be giving the brand a much bigger voice in TikTok.
Ben?
Me? Yeah. Well, so, you know, one place, so I mean, there's the obvious stuff of like having, you know, whatever, Red talk on TikTok and, you know, do the viral dances and I don't know, whatever, various pieces of content that we can do with that. And that's good, that's fine. Some of them are great, some of them are less good. You know, I think one of the things that's really important to keep in mind, and we remind ourselves about this all the time on TikTok, is that, you know, as a platform that is sort of algorithmically driven, right, you do need to understand as best you possibly can the way that the algorithm, the infamous algorithm, can converge with your own brand goals. Because if your incredibly powerful brand message is buried at second 30 on a video and people are swiping up at second 3, they're never going to see it. And you know, you can't content quality your way out of that. You have to get the engagement in order to get the message through. If you don't get the engagement, you don't have the opportunity for the message. And so exploring that space of, you know, whatever, algorithm plus content and content quality, and then finding that right overlap is, I think, an eternal challenge that we all will deal with forever, right? But then, you know, the other really important thing I would say is, like, you know, what on that platform is your secret sauce, your unfair advantage? So obviously we have, you know, the Red personality side of things, but ultimately, you know, what we want to do is we want to drive people to play Angry Birds games. It's less about, you know, whatever, social shopping and buying Angry Birds merch, which is nice, but that's not our primary focus, right? Our primary focus is to drive people towards, you know, playing Angry Birds games. And so everything that TikTok is doing around gaming, both in terms of creators, in terms of product launches, in terms of actually exploring games on the platform itself, all of that is very, very interesting and relevant to us, and definitely something we're spending a lot of time working on.
Brian, you guys went all in on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
To bring him up. So can you talk to us about that and then how you're seeing him grow?
Yeah, I mean, that was a 2-year evolution. I think that we made a decision, not just for Hot Pockets, but more broadly at Nestle USA, around certain brands that need to resonate, really live on that platform. So Hot Pockets was the first one in 2021 to dive into that paid ecosystem. And then having a decision where we're fortunate in terms of who our target is, right? We have a dual household. We talk to the teenager as much as we talk to the mom, and they're two very different things, right? You never talk to the mom the same way you talk to a teen, and vice versa. So we made the choice to not build a brand page, but instead lead with Herbie this year to really figure out how to make it work more as like an actor,
right?
Just to see what the content would produce. And then fold him into the fray throughout our paid media strategies. And the Herbie content has performed at par or better in a lot of those campaigns. And these are campaigns, as we know, that are leading the industry in a lot of regards. Shout out that 6.5 ROAS with our Q1, Q2 campaign. I mean, yeah. It was massive what we saw. But when you live and breathe that DNA together, all of a sudden it's not just the marketing team that's talking about this character. It's the sales organization. It's our friends at Nesquik and the beloved Quickie. Yeah. Around what we can teach them. And granted, that's a global mascot, right? That's an icon that
right.
We would only hope to get to that status. And even hearing the Walmart team, right? Or the Kroger team or the Target team ask, well, what's going on with Herbie? Who's he collaborating with? What are some of these individuals, these creators that you're knocking on the door with? Because everybody is interested in this, right? It becomes a new conduit for our business as an expression that goes, again, well beyond what we would do in marketing.
Sounds like Herbie needs an agent.
He does.
Knock on. So, let's watch some of the content. So, Ben, I want to start with you. Tell us about this video we're about to see.
Yeah, so we have a digital mascot, which is a work in progress. The nice thing about digital mascots is they can evolve. You can add quality to them over time really quite easily. So this is our, you know, whatever, Red 1.0 on TikTok, as it were. And it's a great opportunity to play more with the voice, play more with expression and you know, the personality side of things rather than just the presence side of things. And this is Red educating his peeps, his flock on TikTok about some Angry Birds games. We don't have to watch the whole thing, but it's a fun intro.
All right.
So it has come to my attention that some of you can't tell the difference between the Angry Birds games. I'm here to educate you. Doofuses, Angry Birds friends, like the beloved original, but with never-ending friendly competitions and events, only for people with friends, so not you. Ink,
All right, Kristen, you want to talk about this video?
Sure, from the angry to the jolly. I like this.
We got a nice range here.
It's like an emotional roller coaster. It's fantastic. So I was mentioning before, I mean, one of the key things that we've tried to do with the Giant is have him show up in creative locations. We've done a lot of work with partnerships. His presence obviously is Giant. He really adds a lot to different charitable events and things like that. So aside from just the social media and things like that, we do a lot of event marketing with the Giant too. So this is sort of just like a compilation of different ways the Giant has creatively shown up into the marketplace.
Brian, we got three here. Which one do you want to watch?
Let's go to our buddy Josh. So he's trying to make a splash here real quick.
They're all playing. I gotta go to your mom.
You can blame him for that.
All right, let's try this.
Yo, you trying to have a staring contest? Possible win against you.
So for those that don't know, it's Josh Richards, a personality that was born on TikTok, over 25 million followers or so. We made the decision if we were going to do something very different, we should lead with somebody who knows in the space. So we actually handed the keys over to Josh and his team at CrossCheck Studios to help us design a lot of the content that lives on the Herbie page and has taught us immensely around kind of not just the changes to the algorithm or what the expectations are, but how to let somebody who, again, comes from outside of our walls to really kind of look at that character in a very different light.
That's awesome. So you guys are entrenched in it. You've done it three different ways. Can you talk about some best practices and or watch outs for anybody who might be investing in bringing to life their mascot or bringing them onto social? Kristen, let's start with you.
I mean, I think it's probably a little bit different too because the Green Giant's been around for so long. So it's been a little bit less about building his equity and more about keeping him relevant. So in terms of keeping relevant, I mean, that's been the big focus. And some of the things that have worked best for us is, I mean, you saw it in the clip. I mean, the partnerships with, the big personalities and social media and TikTok. So we did a partnership with the Corn Kid last fall. Which I gotta say was one of the highlights of my career was meeting this kid. He is unbelievable. I mean, he's like this big and he's got the biggest personality ever. You guys probably remember his videos from last summer where he was at the fair and he was eating the corn and he wrote the song and it went crazy and all that stuff. So we partnered with him last year and he and the Giant represented the brand together through the different social media platforms leading all the way up to Thanksgiving last year where we had the Giant and Tariq, the Corn Kid, on our float on the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade, and it was fantastic. So that was an example of leveraging something obviously currently in market, super relevant, helped kind of keep the Giant top of mind and his voice and everything like that. I think the watch out for us has been, because there's so much you could potentially do, is trying to just keep focused and not splinter too much.
Ben, what about you? Quick advice.
So really quickly, we made a decision a couple of years ago, I guess, that Red lives on the internet. And so he owns our Twitter account and he owns our TikTok account. And when he posts in the voice of Red. And when he interacts with comments and feedback, it's in the voice of Red. And that was fantastic. It was great for engagement. Fans love it. And it's really fun to see them, you know, like vying for Red's attention and like, hey Red, like can I get an RT or hey Red, like what do you think of this or that kind of thing. And that it's a really great engagement tool. So if possible, if it works for you and you're able to, I mean I think it's worth exploring. Of course, then tone of voice and guardrails is super important. Because the person who's actually doing the typing behind the keyboard is representing the brand in a really, really big way in terms of how they're interacting with the community. it can be a bit of a minefield, but there's riches there if you can do it properly. So it's worth maybe thinking about if that works for you. We are, you know, really happy with that decision, and I could recommend it for others.
Brian, top line advice.
Yep, turn your gatekeepers into advocates. Easiest thing to do. Legal came along with strategy just as it did with creative, and yep. There was never not a point where we were waiting on somebody else. Everybody kind of understood from the beginning what we were trying to accomplish, and now things pass through with which we thought never would. So it's kind of really changed our mode really across the organization, truthfully.
I love that. So you guys are not the only panelists. And so I would like to invite some special guests up onto the stage that you guys might know. Here they come.
Herbie can't fit through the door either.
Y'all ready for this? Give a round of applause, everybody. Here they are.
In case you couldn't tell, there's a mascot here.
Does Red talk?
No, so, not this one.
I think we should turn the Q&A over to three inaudible characters.
Yeah, exactly.
We can ask them to make sure you guys have been telling the truth this whole time. So I'll start with Mr. Jolly Green Giant. Hi, how you doing?
He knows three words. Well, one word three times.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got it in one.
So how have you liked working with Kristen? Oh, there we go.
Best thing that ever happened in his whole career.
Yeah. Herbie, you've been getting a lot of likes on TikTok. How's that life been for you?
There we go.
What's that? I heard he wants a new artist writer and that he needs some more help.
Yeah, we'll work on that. We'll work on that.
And Red, talk to us about Ben. Yeah? Has he forced you back to office?
I'm pretty sure he says everything's amazing.
Is it?
Oh, damn it, left me hanging.
I think you just got an email from HR. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, so much. That's our panel. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. For more programs like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing podcast network at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.